Scott with sjwellfire.com. Final day study. This is a study. We're calling this podcast Pre-Trib Rapture is a Soul Trap. Pre-Trib Rapture is a Soul Trap. Folks, ministers are leading the sheep to the slaughter. And what you need to do is to endure to the end, to overcome to the end. What that means is you need to have your faith in Jesus Christ all the way to the end of your life, to your final day. When they tell you you've got to take the mark of the beast and denounce Christ and worship Lucifer, worship this image, worship this beast system, you just got to say no, even if it costs you your head. What people are saying in social media handles is we don't have to worry about the mark of the beast because the pre-trib rapture will take us out. And that's just nonsense. It's not biblical. It's poor hermeneutics. It's from the pit of hell. The people that actually brought this to us, especially one of them who wrote his own Bible, is burning in hell. Cursed is he who actually changes the word of God. I mean, you dive into how this came about. It's wicked. It's satanic. It's deceptive. And they've been teaching it in the seminary school forever. It reminds me of the Federal Reserve Bank. It's not federal and has no reserves. It's a private bank. It's deceptive. And a lot of good preachers, I listen to a lot of them. You know, I think they're men of God. They're just deceived. They went to seminary school, or some people call it cemetery school. And I put it on them. They need to read their Bible. They need to get a King James Version Bible so it's clear, so scripture is consistent, and they can see the messaging. So my history behind this really became an avacious reader over the years, where I got into patents, researching patents, and patents are probably the most boring thing to read, but I would read 20, 30, 40 patents at a time, sometimes on a weekend night, very technical in nature. And I learned how to speed read. I actually read books on how to speed read. And so you ascertain 70, 80, 90%, you kind of get the big picture of it, right? And when I was a baby Christian 10 years ago, I dove in to the King James Bible and just started reading it and read it three times over. And granted, just got the foundation of it, right? And obviously, Book of Revelation, Book of Daniel, bit cryptic. I was struggling a little bit, you know, maybe 50, 60% understood, but I found a good church and I was super excited. They're like, we're going to talk about Bible prophecy. I'm like, all right, because I have many, many questions. I don't 100% understand this. Wanted to learn more, needed a mentor, right? And so I walk in and they started talking about dispensationalism, which is just made up from men. There's some pretty cool things about it, but it's made up. They started talking about ages, which is dispensationalism, and the pre-trib rapture. And I just couldn't understand it. And I remember the pastor said, none of us are going to go through any tribulation whatsoever. It's just not biblical. And then I dove into hermeneutics behind the pre-trib rapture, and it just didn't make sense. And it was a house of cards off of other scripture. And I got to tell you, I was frustrated. I felt like a second grader in a PhD class, or I remember thinking, I feel like they're speaking a foreign language. It was frustrating. You know, my hairline, joking a little bit, but I felt like I was going to lose my hair over it. It bugged me. And I felt like they had esoteric knowledge that I didn't have. And the Bible, when the Holy Ghost is in you, the Bible shouldn't be complicated. And I'm very grateful for the independent Baptists that really debunk it. And granted, a lot of them are mid-tribbers. And at the end of the day, now I'm post-trib is where I'm leaning, is where I think the scripture is telling me. I'll kind of show some evidence. But at the end of the day, mid-trib or post-trib, to me, it really doesn't matter, because the key point is you're going to go through tribulation and you need to endure to the end. No other time is like this. If we're in the end times, or at least the beginning of sorrows, this is a time that we're born to save souls, to help bring in the harvest, to be excited. Don't be doom and gloom with this easy escapism and the spirit of fear. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And if you're a minister, dive into the word of God. Sign up for sjwellfire.com. I had some dreams. The Lord's been provoking me to get into the word of God. And really, he showed me that his word of God is a river flowing, and we need to get the trash out of the river, all the water bottles, and just have the word of God be pure and eliminate some of these doctrines from the devil. And I think if you dive in again from the people that created this, some of these people are New World Order type people funded by them, belonging to some wicked occultist type nefarious things. I mean, it's just evil. One pastor that was behind this movement actually said he didn't think abortion was a murder of babies. It's just demonic, folks. Get into the word of God. You know, and granted, the ministers, the pastors, some people I know that I really respect that know their Bible, this is what they were taught in school. So I'll give them a slight pass, but they need discernment. They need wisdom. And I question if they keep preaching this, what's going on. And don't trust me. Buy your King James Bible and read. And let's dive into it. So that's kind of the background behind that. And I got to tell you, Revelation 20, let's read this. And this is talking about Christians. This isn't talking about Jews in the end times, unless they're Christians. These are just Christians that get beheaded. And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ. I saw them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who's going to live with Christ 1,000 years? Christians are going to live with Christ 1,000 years. This is not difficult. And that's the good news, right? That is the amazing news. I got to tell you, a lot of people don't think America could actually bring out the guillotines. But this country, years ago, I think 10, 12 years ago, they bought 1.3 billion rounds of ammunition of hollow point bullets that are illegal in the Geneva Convention because they're too deadly. My understanding is when they hit you, they blow up, you're pretty much dead. 1.3 billion. There are only 310 million Americans in America at the time. I mean, it was like the government was declaring war on the American citizens. They were buying all these target practice posters with women and kids and pregnant women and old ladies. They're trying to desensitize the military or the UN to shoot American patriots, American people trying to defend their rights. And I got to tell you, today, I think they have technology even greater with nanotech that with a certain frequency can destroy your organs. Check out that podcast I did about EMF technology, you know, that might have been tested at Astroworld. I mean, so the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to save you, right, on technology that nefarious. But it gets even stranger. I was researching guillotines. Let's read an article as well about guillotines. This just gets creepy. There's no doubt in my mind that guillotines are being stored on selected military bases in America. Pam, who's the author, had firsthand conversations with people who have seen them. I'm equally convinced that crematoriums have been installed on many of the larger FEMA concentration camps, both here on the mainland and in Hawaii. And what's interesting with this is I just read an article from naturalnews.com about a way to dispose of human beings by liquefying them that was just approved in the state of Washington, or it might have been Seattle. I mean, how wicked is that? And it gets even more wild. You always try to find two witnesses, right? And so I'm listening to a pastor. I won't put his name down. I'm not sure if he wants this out, but he was talking about how one of his members, after he read Revelation 20, that's why I put it on here, came up to him after the sermon and said, you know, I'm a truck driver. And they told me, don't look in the back of my truck on the cargo. It's private. And he went to the military base and they told him to stay in his cab, but he had to go to the bathroom. And I guess it was taking too long. So he got out, went to the bathroom. As he was walking out of the bathroom, he saw guillotines being unloaded. He basically told the pastor that he was taken to a room and they made him sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, which means he can't tell anybody. You know, two witnesses, an article written about the guillotines, and the bullets do it for me, right? I mean, good night. This country's gone south. You can just see it. Communism, lawlessness, the spirit of evil is in the air. But let's step back on this pre-trib rapture. I think it's tickling of ears, just the great falling away. I think it's bad doctrine. Obviously, it's lazy preachers that don't read the word of God, or maybe they have a corrupt Bible version that's easier than the King James to read. It's excuses. And then I blame the members of the church. I just read a stat. I think only 13% of Christians read their Bible on a continuous basis. So that's on us as Christians. We need to read and be aware of the word of God. I personally prefer the King James Version Bible. It's not always, some people say it's not always perfect, but it is tight. But let's read what God thinks about fear, because this is a spirit of fear about the pre-trib rapture. We should be happy. Opportunity to save souls. The more souls you save, the more rewards you get. God's going to give you more things to do with the 1,000-year reign. And when we're in heaven, we're not saved by works, but we're rewarded by works by God, by Christ. Let's read. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Don't fear them, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. This is all about your salvation. This whole sermon is about your salvation. Do not fear death. I found this fascinating. Revelation 21:8. This always stuck to me, that fearful is mentioned before murder. And grant, we're saved. We're believers, right? Or hopefully, if you're not a believer, you need to come to Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Get pierced. The Bible is 100% true. It's pretty amazing. It's just coming true right before our eyes. But the fearful and the unbelieving, so fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I got to tell you, I was a flat out whoremonger, spirit of lust. I'm still a sinner, but the Lord's helped me get rid of the spirit of Jezebel. So we all fall short, but man, be a believer. This doesn't apply to us. All right, so what are we going to talk about with the pre-trib rapture? I'm going to go after four key pillars that I think just cut it off at the knees. The elect are Christians. I was listening to this pastor that I like listening to, but then it dawned on me, he never really has much scripture. He has pretty cool content about the New World Order and stuff, but he doesn't dive into the scripture that much. And I think he's fooling his members. No one knows the day or the hour. I've heard that from people I really, really, really respect. And it's just nonsense. No one knows the exact day or hour, but Christ gives us like all these markers, these benchmarks. This is probably the most foolish one. This and elect, these are the top two that just make zero sense. Then the next one is people are not appointed to wrath. I keep hearing that. But the question is, during Exodus, did God pour out his wrath and were people protected by the Lamb of God? You need to think bigger. You need to read the whole Bible, right? We'll get into that a little bit deeper. I think the wrath of God, because now I'm no longer mid-trib, which Christians will still go through persecution. I'm now post-trib, but I think the wrath of God will actually free Christians from the tyranny that's happening. It'll be a blessing, right? The first vial is when people that took the mark of the beast that are chasing after Christians, trying to kill us, they're going to have all these wicked sores. They're probably going to be bedridden. Right. And then we're going to deep dive into the promise, the chosen people, who are the elect, and also that scripture, all of Israel will be saved, right? They're blinded now, but when will all of Israel be saved? And also who are the, or what is going on with 144,000? I had a dream about that. We'll actually have that as a separate podcast, maybe a teaching next week. Now let's read Romans 8:32-39. I think this actually is perfect scripture to really go after the elect, and we're not appointed to tribulation as Christians. Well, first of all, as you read Romans 8:32-39, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the first mention here is God's elect, right? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He's talking about Christ up here, right? And then let's read, this kind of foreshadows to me the end times. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We're going to go through tribulation. We still better have the love of Christ in these end times. Tribulation like never seen before, or distress, or persecution. Persecution really is tribulation. Or famine. Does famine sound like the end times? Or nakedness, or peril? Perilous times shall come. Or sword. There's some end times content here, right? We still need to have the love of Christ. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, we're going to be killed, but are we counted for the sheep for the slaughter? Nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We've conquered it. We've conquered death. For I am persuaded that neither death, hear that. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I think this is talking about as the end times and Satan is released with all his demonic angels, these watchmen, aliens, things that just are mind-bending. I think this is deeper than just man versus man. We're going to start seeing some spiritual warfare that is going to be unbelievable. I haven't disclosed that from dreams, but you just read the word of God, right? We're going to need faith to rebuke Satan and his fallen angels, aliens. We just rebuke them in the name of Jesus when they come out of the pit of hell here on this earth or other dimensions, not from some faraway galaxy. nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, and again, a creature, right, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, for the love of Christ, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I mean, this is just kind of funny. Elect are Christians. And it just kind of talks about tribulation and distress and persecution and famine, which sounds like the end times. Oh, we're not going to go through that. I mean, it's nonsense. But we'll dive deeper. I promise. Let's do it. So the timing after the tribulation, the sun and moon and darken, you see that all throughout the Bible. And that's the first resurrection, better known as the rapture. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from him. I think this is Planet X coming in. And the powers in heaven shall be shaken. Matthew 24. And Joel 2, there's Old Testament scripture as well that's just like this. And let's look at a sister passage. We'll get into Matthew 24 as well. But God gives you the whole playbook of what's going to happen, the whole timeline. Mark 13, 27. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect. Those are Christians. Those are not Jews. Those are Jews that come to Christ, but then they're Christians. Just like the apostles are Christians. And not all the apostles were Jews, by the way. Gather together his elect from the four winds, from the utmost part of the earth to the utmost part of heaven. Now, who are the elect? Let's just get some scripture to define that the elect are Christians. Paul, a servant of God, he's a Christian now, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, boom, according to the faith of God's elect, right? The election. God is electing us. We are the promised seed, right? Isaac was the miracle child. Jesus was the miracle child. And the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. All right, let's go end time scripture about the elect. Matthew 24 is perfect. You need to study Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the Christian's sake, those days shall be shortened. How it reads, but for the elect's sake. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They're not going to deceive you. The Antichrist is not going to deceive you, bringing fire in from Star Wars technology or all the UFO technology. It's not going to deceive you because you read your Bible. You know the false Christ, this Antichrist, the man of perdition, and the false prophet, many think will be a pope. You know, you're just not going to fall for any of it. But do you think Jews are? Well, let's see if Jews are. Rabbi says, this recent article, the Antichrist is the Messiah the Jews are waiting for. July 25th, 2020. A strange statement. It's not a strange statement. They're looking for the first coming, and they're going to actually think the Antichrist is Christ, the first coming, period. A strange statement from cause alarm among believers, as one rabbi claimed that the Messiah they are waiting for is the Antichrist. Of course, it's the Antichrist. And there are 40 million American Zionists that are paying for the third temple to be built. Folks, you build that third temple and the Antichrist comes in. And I think this also has something to do with the temple of God, right? Our body is the temple of God. It's going to be defiled with gene manipulation. But you're trying to pay for this temple to bring in the tribulation that then will have God's wrath and Satan's wrath on you to bring in the mark of the beast. And we're going to prove out a lot of Christians are going to be martyred. You're paying for turbulent times like never seen before. It's just foolishness. It just doesn't make any sense. When they say bless Abraham, Abraham's seed, and you'll be blessed, I'm going to prove out later, maybe it'll be the next podcast, that's you bless Christians to be blessed. It's very easy. Luke 1. Read Luke 1, King James Version. The promise of Abraham's seed. Mary's talking. It's the deception in the church is so wild. And granted, God talked about deceivers in the church. But let's just think about this. So the rabbi, and this is not just this rabbi. I saw a video of a bunch of rabbis saying, who are they looking for with Christ? And it perfectly describes the Antichrist. They're not looking for Christ that came the first time. No way. So this is a sister passage to what we just read with Matthew 24:24. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even elect. So they're going to seduce, if it were possible, even Christians is how that reads. Even the elect are Christians. Mark 13:22. This is just fun. This is fun. Now let's let's go after preeminence. A lot of pre-trib rapture people are like, anytime, anytime. It's just nonsense, right? Because if you read your Bible, Revelation 16, 12, 15, and this is the sixth vial that the angel pours out, that is God's wrath, right? And so if you look at the 7 years, this is in the latter parts of the Great Tribulation period, or tribulation 7 years. And what's wild is within this passage, they're talking to Christians. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So why would Christ be trying to warn Christians in the Bible, or atheists? Why would he try to be warning people that don't read this Bible? He's warning the saints. He's warning the elect. He's warning servants of God. We're going to be here during the sixth angel. So to me, this makes null and void, flat out makes null and void the mid-trib, and obviously the pre-trib rapture as well. But let's read it. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, which is drying up, by the way, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And for the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the world to gather them to battle for the great day of the Lord Almighty. And so I also think the Antichrist, this beast system, and Satan are going to try to make war with God, with Jesus as he comes back. They're going to make war on the saints, but they're going to prepare to make war for that great battle, right? It's going to be a spiritual battle like nothing you've ever seen. It is right now, right? We're under spiritual warfare. But let's just go back to a famous vote from the pre-tribbers about preeminence and just totally destroy that. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. This Revelation 16, 12, during the wrath of God, he's talking to Christians and he's telling you to be looking out for the Euphrates River drying up, right? And this whole bit that comes about. And this parallels Thessalonians 4 and 5. So let's read. This is the rapture again. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel and with a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds and meet with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So that's great. That's the rapture. Then it goes into chapter 5, right? This just as it doesn't stop off, but this is the chapter, start of chapter 5 of Thessalonians. Of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because we know the times and the seasons with all of these markers, just like Matthew 24. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know it. We've given you markers. You don't know the day or the hour, but you know the season. You know some things to look for. You need to know when to get your spiritual house in order, which is now, in my opinion. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not darkness, that day shall overtake you as a thief. You're not in darkness. You understand what's going on. Right? So are we in the beginning of sorrows, the birthing pains? I'm telling you, something is going on with what's happening. I think the first seal has been broken out. Check out that podcast I did. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, right? The light and the salt. We are not of the night nor of darkness. There, we're reading our Bible, right? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. I mean, this just reminds me of the parable of the 10 virgins. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love in the helmet and the hope of salvation. Really, if it's our time, folks, during the end of days, it's our time, the hope of salvation. That's key. This is just a shadow. Now, this is perfect. For God not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God might take us out just for salvation purposes. Stop your fear. Save souls. Get those rewards, my friends. And just continuing on this point, Matthew 24, you just got to study Matthew 24, right? So immediately after tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened and the moon. And if you look at this, I think it's the seventh trumpet, seventh vial, sixth seal. It's perfect. There's this darkening of the moon. It's parallel perfect. Now let's read how 24 says it. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in the heaven of power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and put forth the leaves, ye know that the summer is nigh. Who is he going to gather? Christians. He's going to gather Christians. He's going to gather the 144,000 Jewish virgins that were sealed. He's going to gather other people that come to Christ. Right? This is a big world. He's going to gather them all. But it just gets better and deeper. Another pre-tribber is like, as the days of Noah. Well, this is all Matthew 24. He's telling you the time. We're going to crush this as well. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Of course, but we know the seasons. We know things and markers to look for. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Right, the second coming. But as in that day were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, entered into the rapture, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken in the rapture and the other destroyed, left, the other killed. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken in the rapture, and the other shall be left or destroyed. Watch therefore, for ye not know the hour the Lord doth come. But we've given you all these markers up top, all these things that must happen. Boom, boom, look for this, 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 look for this. This is foolishness to say that there is not a warning of all these triggers that have to happen. That could just happen tomorrow. I could be sitting here. It's nonsense. It's not good Bible. So the flood came and take them all away and destroyed them all. And what I'm going to prove to you that this fits perfectly with the wheat and the tares parable, right? That Jesus told us about the end times. So we are living with the wheat and the tares. And God said, I'm going to destroy the tares and burn them first, harvest them with the reaper, right? That's end times symbology. And actually throw the tares in the fire. And the wheat, the good Christians that believe, are going to go into the barn that represents heaven. So let's look at a sister passage, as the days of Noah, Luke 17, 26. This is just good hermeneutics here. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, was raptured up, and the flood came, judgment, and destroyed them all. Destroyed them all. And I'm not laughing. We need to save souls. But I'm laughing at the pastors, the deception of seminary or cemetery school is crazy, but I question what they're teaching. And I know there's some really good God-fearing pastors out there trying to save souls that I'm sure will be over some cities when we're in our next life. But I pray that they are awakened here to this nonsense, because we're talking souls, my friends. Isn't that fascinating? Do you get it? What we just saw here? As the days of Noah, the door represents the only way to Christ in the ark. There's one door in. And we'll have scripture a little bit later on that. And the rest were they died. I even wonder if taken means taken out and the other person left with a new body, right? There's some scripture there. But just to bring it home, folks, that you will go through tribulation, you better get your spiritual house in order. And most of these are end time scriptures. The elect are Christians. Saints are Christians. The promise are Christians. Servants are Christians. Let's just read. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, right? Persecution is tribulation. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power is given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is everywhere. It's the Antichrist. I hate this. War with the saints. You're a Christian. You're a saint and overcome them. Folks, we're not getting raptured out of here. For the true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, this is good news, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So this great whore, this beast system, the man of perdition, all of them are going to make war with the saints, the servants. And I wonder too, if this goes back in time, right? With the Catholic Church killing a lot of Christians and just all the martyrs throughout history. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. This is just awful, right? She's drunken with the blood of the saints. Who are the people that are running this world? These blood drinkers, adrenochrome freaks, they get off on death. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, Revelation 17, 6. Here we go. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and yea, ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. 10 days is just interesting. It's just like, hey, faithful unto death, right? Never denounce your faith in Christ. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. What? These are Christians. End times, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Matthew 24. Know that. Know Matthew 24 with the King James Bible, and then look for sister passages, and then read the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel. Just dive into it, my friends. Luke 21. And let's just continue with Christians being persecuted, and we should not fear it. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues. This reminds me of Noahide laws, right? The synagogue, synagogue of Satan, and onto prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, for Christ's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. This is awesome. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. So the Holy Ghost is going to come to you. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And maybe you'll even save some people. Maybe some of these people haven't taken the mark of the beast. I doubt it, but this reminds me of the story of Christ when he's going after a lot of the Jewish leaders, the Sadducees and stuff. And he's just like, baffling them. They're trying to trick him, and he's just outmaneuvering them with wit and insight and wisdom. You know, that's what this passage reminds me of. But you're not going to do it on your own. You need to just let the Holy Ghost come to you. And ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Now, what does this mean? They're going to put you to the death, but your hair is not, not a hair of your head shall perish. But your patience possesses your souls. This is about your souls, because the next life is better. You just got to believe that. I mean, this book is mathematically impossible not to be true. Once you dive into the prophecies and the complexity of it, just beauty of it, there's nothing close to this book. Talk about not appointed to wrath. I'm not appointed to wrath. I'm not appointed to wrath. Was there a time ever in Bible history where God poured out his wrath and people were saved through it? Yes, it was in Exodus, foreshadowing of sacrificing a lamb, taking that lamb's blood and putting it on your door so the angel of death didn't hurt you, right? This is just symbolism for your faith in Christ. I mean, it's not, I don't think this is complicated. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified through his blood, we be saved. I mean, that's perfect. And it reminds me of the parable of the virgins. We, including myself, just need to always continuously get our house in order, because judgment must begin in the house of God. My friends, that's to the preachers. Make sure you don't lead the sheep astray. And I think it's just done by wicked doctrine. But we need to pray for wisdom for our Christian leaders, that they step up or step out. So as the days of Noah, like I'm a firm believer in the gene corruption, but really here, Noah's Ark is that one door represents salvation. So John 10:9, this is another God's wrath, right? It was so wicked. Everybody's thoughts were evil. The genes were corrupted. It's happening now, my friends. Heflum could be coming back. And I am the door by me, if any man, as Jesus, and I am the door by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's foreshadowing. It's foreshadowing the times that we're going to see. And this is me. I've never heard a pastor or a preacher talk about this, but just reading the Bible, Jericho reminds me of the end times with all of the seven priests, seven trumpets with ram horns, 7 days, you know, and going around the city 7 times, and then the city falls. It just, it takes me to the end times. And then the fact that Rahab was saved, right? A harlot. It's just interesting. It might be a stretch, but even when the whole city's falling down, you can be saved, right? With God's judgment. You can, with faith, anything can happen. So now here's another point, and we're almost done, where I think wrath will help Christians that are there. So Satan, the beast system, the Antichrist, the great horde, they're going to be able to really martyr a lot of people, right? But then all of a sudden, when God's wrath comes about, and where it doesn't make sense for me with the rapture taking place, after 70 some days, I've heard 100 some days, maybe kind of that, maybe it's that 3.5 year mark within the 7 year tribulation. And then the rapture happens is just a theory I recently heard. What doesn't make sense to me, if everybody sees Jesus coming in the clouds, why would you need 2 witnesses, right? You'd be a fool not to give yourself to Jesus Christ when everybody sees him. That great and terrible day, you'd be an idiot not to then give yourself to Christ. And hopefully not everybody has taken the mark of the beast by then. So then it's just wrath on everybody. You know, I'm sure some people are out in the woods running around doing some things and pushing back. Who knows? But, you know, if you're a Christian and on the run, and you think about this, the first file is sores for the marked people. You know, let's read, grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshiped his image. And this just sounds painful. And you think about some of these sores. I mean, it could be all over the body where it's just debilitating for them. So then all of a sudden we're not being chased, you know, we're just chilling. We're able to kind of live our life, at least for a short while. And then the other vial that I think will help Christians survive this, and obviously the Holy Ghost and his angels can help us as well, is the judgment for the blood of the saints. And I heard an angel of the water say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints of the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another angel and the author say, "Even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous for the judgments." And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given on him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat that blasphemed the name of God. So the people that are blaspheming God probably have taken the mark of the beast, right? And so it's just like, and then I think the last one here that I mentioned is great darkness on the beast kingdom. And a fifth angel poured out of the vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. So the Antichrist system, this beast system, is just going to be in disarray. This actually might be a time of freedom for Christians that survive this, is my point. So let's summarize. Let's bring this home, right? Hopefully we made the case. The elect are Christians. We are the promise. We are the servants. And yes, the elect and Christians will go through persecution. No one knows the day or hour coming as a thief of the night. Folks, this is mentioned right after they talk about all the signs that are coming. But since you're aware, you're an elect, you're a Christian, you're reading the word of God, it's not going to take you as a thief in the night. You don't know the day or the hour, but you know a time frame. So it's almost like, I know that my son's going to graduate from college, but he needs to complete 5 courses, and he might complete them by summer, and maybe it'll be the next semester. But those are some markers, and then he can graduate around, you know, a certain date, but that date hasn't been set yet because it's too far out. It's a year and a half out, 3 years out, but we don't know. But we just know he's got to complete these things. These are some markers that we need to go. And it's probably in a 7-year period if we believe that the tribulation is going to be within 7 years. I mean, so that to me is just foolishness. And then wrath, you know, tribulation happens. The elect, right? It's just all over the Bible of Christians getting martyred and receive a crown. The whore is going to make war with the saints and overcome them. The beast, the antichrist system, the great whore was drunken with the blood of the saints, I think it says. So you just got to dive into it, my friends. So the next one we're actually going to talk about is we're going to deeper dive into who are the promise? Who's the promise? Who are the elect? Who are the chosen people? And then we know Israel is blinded. But that the verse, all Israel will be saved when the Gentiles' fullness comes in. When is that time? It's not what people think. And then we'll talk a little bit about a dream I had for what I think is the 144,000 virgins. I need to do a little bit more deep dive with scripture to see if I'm interpreting the dream that I had correctly. But in any event, hopefully this was a blessing. It was a long one, but I'm afraid for people's souls. And if you're listening to a pastor that's stubborn on this, maybe just go and try to point them out, because we need to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I know I really respect some Christian men that preach this. It just doesn't make sense. And now I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to worry that maybe they're not in their Bible as much as they should be, or they lack discernment. They lack wisdom, because it doesn't make any sense. And the doctrine borders on witchcraft, in my personal opinion. So God bless. SJWellfire.com. Check out that ministry website, and we'll go from there.